Right. So, Weiter and Gozes, we're going to talk about hair brushing today, combing. So, the Mishnah in Meseches Nazir says, Nazir chofef umifasfes. Chofef, well, for now, assume is shampooing. Mefasfes, I assume, is like combing your hair with your fingers.
Playing with your beard.
Playing with... Oh.
Your beard?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe. So you're allowed to go like this. So the Gemara says, why is that? Why are you allowed to do that? Sometimes when you do that, hair comes out. So it says, okay, this is the view of Rabbi Shimon, the Tav Shimon Skav in his mutter. Now note that we're not actually talking about Hilchos Shabbos over here. We're talking about Hilchos Nazir. But the Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Yehuda is true B'chal Tar Kula. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon is Matir. This Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon. And the Mishnah continues, but it says that Avalo Sorek, you can't comb your hair. Why can't you comb your hair? So the Gemara says, that's because you're Mechavin. You're Mechavin to pull out hairs. Now, the question is, why are you Mechavin? In other words, I don't think most people, if they want a haircut, they'll get a haircut, right? They're not going to want to remove the hair from their head through the process of combing.
So
that's exactly what the Rivash answers, exactly what you just said. The Rivash says, Kevan shirotza ba'afradas ha-sa'aros ha-meduldalim va'nikshar'im shehem nimna'ei ha-hafrada b'zulas ha-sara. So, more or less, I'm not exactly sure what sa'aros ha-meduldalim is, really. These, like, hairs that are half out. But anyway...
That wouldn't apply nowadays. Back then, they...
But, well, we'll talk about nowadays. We'll talk about nowadays.
So they have, like, if you go to, like, a good barber, like, a really good barber...
Yeah.
Then, like, at the end of, like, a haircut, they, like, will cut off, like, the extra strands that, like, are sticking out or something.
Uh-huh. Okay. Here. So anyway...
You, like, walk so far.
You have to go to Eduardo in there.
Right. So, but Lamaisa, I think what's most relevant is what Yoshua was saying, which is that if you're combing your hair, especially if you have long hair, like a Nazir might, so it's knotty. And basically, the only way to de-knot it is to pull out those hairs, which is what combing does. And that's why, especially people with long hair, you look at their brushes, and they're full of hair. And that process is considered mechavein. In other words, you are mechavein. I'm not mechavein to pull out hairs per se, but I'm mechavein to straighten out my hair, which means that I'm mechavein to pull it out. And the Rivash adds, ve'ena srika davar acher, rak hasaras hasear, kamosh kasafti lamala. In other words, I think what he means is the srika is not davar acher. It's not even a psik resha, like the Gemara says. It's a davar mechavein. Meaning to say, this is actually very reminiscent to one of the topics we had at the very beginning of the year when we talked about the difference between Ein Sichah Gufa and Psik Reisha and the likes. He says that it's not the pshat that I intend to comb, I intend to straighten my hair out, and inevitably something else happened, a second thing happened, which would make a Devshen Miskaveh, maybe a Psik Reisha, maybe not. But rather, I'm actually mechavein lekach. So it's not davar acher, it's mechavein mamish. There's no two pe'ulos. Rather, straightening your hair and removing impediments are really one. Yes?
Just in the brush point, I think the reason why it doesn't depend on the brush is because if you have long hair, it kind of mats together, and the loose hairs, which would normally fall out, get stuck in your hair. Sometimes
that's a shot. You're not even pulling them out.
Yeah.
I hear. Okay, but when you...
But you do brush though, you do intend to pull the knots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So that's what the Rivash says. And therefore, it's not just the Saros HaMedoldalim, but it's all the knotty hairs, basically, that you intend to pull out. Now, that's the simple reading of the Gemara. The simple reading of the Gemara is, again, that the Gemara is saying you're Mechavin. It's not saying anything to do with Psek Reisha. But if you look at Rashi and Shabbos, Pei Aleph Amud Beis, Rashi says it's because it's a Psek Reisha. It's not just Rashi, Rambam sounds that way, Hilchos Nazir, Perkei Alech Yudalid, others as well. So what's the Pshat? In other words, the Gemara says it's Mechavin, They're saying it's Psik Resha. So the Ritva, Shabbos Nunam Abase, the Shittim Chubetzis over there in Nazir, the Rush in Nazir, say what's the Pshat? That it means Psik Resha, like Rashi says. And it sounds like, actually, they're saying, and this is, if you recall back again from the beginning of the year, this is one side in what Rabbi Chanan suggested in his famous Chakira about Psik Resha, that because it's a Psik Resha, that's why you're Mechavein. To have a Psik, another, just for example, the Lashon of the Rosh in that Gemara was that the Gemara says, again, it's Mechavein, and the Rosh says, to have a Psik Resha could mefarish be Gemara. It's Rosh in the Mishnah, the Rosh in the Gilion of Nazir. Right? So it's Aser, because it's a Psik Resha, could mefarish be Gemara. In other words, the words Mechavein are telling you Psik Resha. That's the way they say it. Now,
it's a little dachut.
So, right, Yoni's asking, so why didn't it say that? In other words, we know, like, there are a lot of places in Shas that says, oh, Modushim Psik Resha, right? Who knows how to say Psik Resha? Why does it say it this way? So maybe you would say, one possibility is it's to teach me that it's Nichale. And that's why it uses this Lashon, to make that clear, because it's not so obvious that it's Nichale. Not so Pashut, especially if you learn like Tosfos, because remember, Tosfos holds that a Psik Resha Delo Nichale is Aser B'chol Terkula Deraisa, right? It's only on Shabbos that a Psik Resha Nochane is Aser Mutter Deraisa Aser Rabbanon, because it's in Shechel Gufa. But certainly, if you learn like the Aruch, that could be one way to say it, especially if you learn like the Aruch, meaning to say, that's the Chiddush of the Gemara, that it's Mechavein, meaning to say it's Psik Resha De Nichale, and that's why it's Aser. Because if it was no Lo Nichale, it would be Mutter. And that's why it doesn't just say Mutter Shemim B'Psik Resha, but it's saying, it's telling you, you're Mechavein Dehainu Psik Resha De Nichale, that's why it's Aser. If you look in the back of Maseches Nazir, there's a commentary called the Orech Mishur. That's the way he says it, I think. So that's why, that would explain, that's one way, possibly, to explain that formulation. Now, if that's the correct explanation, then, according to the Aruch, let's say, if it was Lo Nichale, it was Mutter. As let's say, for whatever reason, you decided that that any hair pulling out that I do while combing is Lo Nichale. So then, L'chora, if you follow the Aruch, it would be Mutter. Now, the Rivash actually, and again, the long tshuva, so he tries to argue it's Aser, even according to Rivash, because the Gemara says Mechavein, and that really is Nichale. We'll get back to that in a bit. The Magen Avraham has a different approach to answering this question. In other words, explaining the Lashon Gemara. This is the Magen Avraham, Siman Shin Gimel, Sif Katan Chaf Beis. It sounds like he's saying that really there are two factors, two reasons why it's Aser. The Gemara is telling you, generally speaking, you are Mechavein. And Rashi in Shabbos is also saying it's Aser for an additional reason, even if you're not Mechavein, because it's a Psik Resha. Why do you need both reasons? So, one, you know, because maybe you could comb in a way that's not a Psik Resha, but that's why the Gemara is saying it's still going to be Aser, because it's Mechavein. And sometimes maybe you're not Mechavein, but it's still going to be Aser because it's Psik Resha. So really, the it's not the Pshat like the Rush seems to be saying, that when the Gemara says Mechavein, it means Psik Resha, but rather there's two factors, there's two reasons why it's Aser to come, both because it's Psik Resha and because you're Mechavein. Now, if that were to be true, then Li Yitzir, you had a situation where it was both not Mechavein and also not a Psik Resha, so it would be Mutter. And in fact, even though the Rivash is very machmir, he concedes that if you had such a reality, it's going to be okay. So he says that he's okay with the Bachuros Misaknos Me'at Seya Roshan Bekli Hasui Mesarus Hachazir. Okay, don't tell your wife that it's a pig hair brush. But they basically use a soft brush, like from pig, and they don't brush all their hair, they just do some of their hair. So if you don't do all of your hair and it's a soft bristled brush. So that's mutter, because it's not mechavein, and it's not psikresha. Yeah.
Can I ask the obvious question about what's the shear?
So this is a very interesting point. So Rabbi Schachter has a theory, and he thinks that this Mishnah proves it, that we mentioned it before, that we look at, when we're discussing psikresha, not just each activity, but rather the each step in the activity, but the activity as a whole. So Schachter says, it's obvious, you see all these Rishonim saying psikresha, right? It's obvious it's not a psikresha of every stroke of the comb. Because you see, many times you strike the... But the activity of brushing your whole hair, brushing out your whole head, whatever that is, you know, let's say it's 20 strokes. So in 20 strokes, it's inevitable that you'll pull out a hair. So that's what this means. And that's actually the yesod, that's the basis of Rabbi Schachter's theory. There are other applications of it, but it's from, I think the Rishonim over here. Again, he would concede that if it's not a psikresha, so that means not a psikresha means in the whole brushing, that all 20 strokes in total, you're not gonna pull out a hair. I think that's what I heard from Schachter. He applies this type of perspective in many places. If you guys remember from Yardea last year, Rav Schachter's theory about miyot hamatsui in terms of bdikas tolaim is the same thing. In other words, if when we say miyot hamatsui, you have to check. Miyot hamatsui of what? Of this bite? Of the whole head of lettuce? No, neither of those make any sense. So Schachter, it's your meal, right? Serving size of whatever, of salad is 2 ounces of lettuce. Let's imagine a meal size. So then, if 20 ounces of lettuce doesn't have a bug, so then on average 20 ounces of lettuce don't have bugs. You don't have to check the lettuce. If they do, then you do. Yes?
If I go for a 10-mile walk on Shabbos over regular ground, the odds that in no step in that entire 10-mile walk will I manage to make a furrow with my feet are insignificant. Yet no one would say that that's usher because it's now of psikresha. If I do something that has...
Maybe. We talked about kulas for walking normally. We talked about kulas for psikresha to lonichalei for nesidra abhanan, which is what that would be.
But by any other activity,
you'd have to probably rely on one of those kulas, which could be we accept both of them. Okay. But... Okay.
But if we're accepting psikresha lonichalei and drabanan, so that at least if you think that pulling a hair is not a shame,
but we don't apply that.
No,
we probably don't paskin like we likely don't paskin like Tosfos. And second of all, it's we likely don't apply that principle for psikresha lonichalei, as Ray Willock pointed out. And not to enes shichel gufa. Okay. So anyhow, now again, just to clarify, so why is it nichalei? So the truth is that that Rivash, as you, if you saw it inside, he was opposed to the Shoal. The Shoal writes that the minhag is to be makel for women to brush their hair. And the Shoal basically thought it was mutter because we follow the Aruch. So the Rivash says, first of all, we don't follow the Aruch. And second of all, according to Reb Chaim, maybe the Rambam follows the Aruch. But anyway, the Rivash thinks we don't paskin like the Aruch. And moreover, he says, even according to the Aruch, it's aser. Lui hi kedivrei ha'bal ha'aruch, hine b'kan aser, denene b'asar ha'seyar. Kevin Shirotza Behafradas Asaros Hamidaldalam, like we said before. Vimke Nenahu Asara, Venus we couldn't find. So the Beis Yosef also more or less has the same back and forth. This is at the end of Simon Shin Gimel. He quotes those that were lenient. Some of the Yesh Mahandisin Lahakel, some funny lashon. Anyway. He says that it's wrong, more or less along the lines of the Rivash. Now, the Beis Yosef actually brings a very interesting raya that this is correct, that it's aser to comb your hair on Shabbos, that there's no heter. Now, what's his raya? His raya is from Chafifa in Hilchos Nida. Anyone here 2 years ago for Hilchos Nida? Yoni. So Yoni, as Yoni recalls, that we know that you're not allowed to do Chafifa on Shabbos. That the Gemara Nida says that you can't do Chafifa on Shabbos. And in fact, we have all these like very Shvacha Kulas because of that. For example, could be it's Rida Yantif, so you're going to end up doing Chafifa 48 hours before you go to the mikvah, which isn't so Pashat. So says the Beis Yosef, why don't we just have a very simple solution, right? Chafifa involves combing the hair. And Ezra was Mesakin Chafifa, Midaraisa, Biune, Baalm is enough, Takanas Ezra to do Chafifa, to shampoo, to comb, whatever it is, to comb out your hair. So why didn't they just say comb it out on Shabbos or on Yantif, right? Why this like very Shvacha Kula of separating Chafifa from Tvila by 2 days? So very, very normally we're very much reluctant to have any type of separation between the Chafifa and the Tvila because we don't want any knots to come in that duration. So why do we have this kula? Must be, says the Beis Yosef, that combing is aser on Shabbos. That's the raya against those that are mako. So I think I heard, if I recall, this was a while back when in the shiurim from Rav Sabalovsky. So he said this is a lousy raya because. No, he was much nicer about it. Probably said, Lule de Mistafina. So why is it such a lousy raya? Because we paskin mikar adin that you can do, if you don't have a comb, you could do chafifa with your hands. You can comb out your hair with your hands. And we, in fact, paskin that way for other places of bodies of areas of hair on the body, except for the head, that we don't use a comb. We use your hands. You clean it out with your hands. And if somebody didn't have a comb, we wouldn't say, okay, no comb, we can't go to the mikvah. We would say, pashtus, that you can use your hands to straighten out your hair. And you're allowed to use your hands on Shabbos, right? The Nazir, like we saw the Mishnah said, the Nazir is allowed to use his hands. So So then why'd they ask to Chafifa on Shabbos? Must be for a different reason. Probably is because you need to do Chafifa with hot water. Can't do that on Shabbos. We'll talk about Yantif. I realized after we finished Bishul that really we should have done bathing on Shabbos and Yantif with Bishul. That's really where the sugyas come up. But I didn't think about it. So maybe we'll do it after we do Liban, because it comes up in Liban with like the schita, the towels. So but it comes up in Gozis also. But we'll do it after, maybe after we do Liban, we'll talk about we'll do bathing. But Lamaisa, you can't bathe on Shabbos and Yantif, and Mimela, that's probably the reason why you can't do a Chafifa on Shabbos and Yantif. But as I said, the Beis Yosef, anyway, brings a raya from here that it's usher to comb your hair on Shabbos.
Well,
yeah, and hand is mutter, the Mishnah says, for a Nazir.
Even on Shabbos?
Presumably. It's mutter for a Nazir, it's been mutter on Shabbos, no? So, but why would this be a tolda?
It's not the normal ingredients.
Then it should be pater on Shabbos. Either way, it's tolish. When you use a comb, it's also tolish.
That's why it's also.
Unless you have a comb with a razor on it. My grandfather had a comb like that. He didn't get haircuts. He had this comb with a razor on the bottom, and then he would just like comb out his hair, and then that would be his haircut.
Wow.
It's like before they had the trimmers. It's the same thing, but just with the. It's pretty cool. Okay. So, anyway. Yes.
With horseradish.
Now, Agav, there's another interesting question, which is maybe you could argue it's mekalkel, assuming that like you want your hairs in your head. Especially if.
With the combing is mekalkel?
The pulling out of the hairs. I saw someone say that like maybe there's a article I think I saw on taking out lice on Shabbos. So there's with a comb, there's a lot of issues there, borer and the like. But maybe they said it would be mekalkel in terms of pulling out of the hair. So here it's sort of interesting because it's mekalkel with respect to, in one respect, because you don't want your hairs pulled out, right? But at the same time, through this kilkel, there's an overall tikkun aguf, getting the lice out of your hair or having your hair neat or the like. So there's a very interesting sefer on Shabbos, which I didn't get to look at much this time around, unfortunately. It's called, it's written by Rav Gelber, who's the author of the Orchel Shabbos. But he wrote this much earlier, than the Siva Shalom. And it's on. It's excellent. It's really good. It goes through the Klalim. I used to go to his Chaburos in Hilchos Shabbos when I was in Chevron. He was not so well known then before the Orchel Shabbos, But he gave very good Hilchos Shabbos Chaburos. Anyway, he tries to argue over there that it's machlokas between. Remember the machlokas between Rashi and the Balamor Ramban and Kovav in terms of Mila, whether that's considered. So it's the same Shaila. In other words, is it Mekalkal Alibid Reb Shimon, who says Malchshen Shichel Gufa? And it's machlokas over there, the Rishonim. He thinks it's Alinat. Anyway, but let's stay focused. So back to here. So, practical question that comes up. With combing, as I said, obviously we don't allow combing on Shabbos for the reasons we've said. What about if a woman forgets to comb before Shabbos, forgot to do chafifa, right? We talked a lot about the nail cutting. So what about coding? Oh, so says Aaron. So maybe we could go ahead and we could say the Amir Lenachri. So if we're going to think it's Enetzrich L'Gufa, let's say. We're going to be makel that hair cutting, nail cutting, is en shichel gufa. Or even maybe if we're machmir generally against tosfos, remember the Biur Halacha said in the Ramban that maybe we could say here where it's not really for tikkun haguf would be mutter. It's not clear if you could apply that over here because hair combing is for tikkun haguf. It's also for the mikvah. But even if you wanted to be makel that way, but what about the taz? Because it's misayaya, you're mizamein your hairs for the nachriya to comb them.
It's less than by nails. By nails, the whole point is you don't hold your hand out at all time. Your hair, you stay still.
But it's like the case of makif nikif. In other words,
if you make it by nails, I'm sure you make it by hair.
Okay, I hear. But I think you could argue, so good. So maybe you could be makel. But here you could try to argue even a taz would be moda. Right? Remember, the taz wasn't makel by the nails. He said you should clean the nails. That's not an option here. Why? Because if we assume the problem is psik reisha, so remember, we saw psik reisha by Mir Lenachri. Where'd we have that? The Ramah, the end of Reish and Gimel. Right? The Maharam having the guy put the food on the furnace and then turn the furnace on. So could be even here it's more kal. Here even the taz might agree because it's psik reisha b'amirel nachri, right? The ma'isa we were makel on that shaila b'shas adchak. Well, that reisha and gimel is an example.
That wasn't even shas
adchak. No, that's not shas adchak, but let's say the refrigerator shaila. That's one of the more common things. Could you have a guy open the refrigerator if you left the light on?
We don't follow Shlomo Zalman.
So that's a machlokas. Yoni is correct between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Moshe thought that was mutter. He's talking about a car. But the same thing by a fridge, that it's a Amir Lenachri psik reish is mutter. Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't think that having the guy open the refrigerator door is a psik reish. Why? Said, how do you turn on a refrigerator light? By opening the door. But you wouldn't consider having a guy flip the switch on a light a psik reisha. You would say, that's turning on the light straight, even though there are numerous steps in the process. So how do you turn on refrigerator light? By opening up the door.
What sure. If I ask the non-Jew to flick a bug off the light switch by flicking the light up or something like that?
If that's true, then that's fine. That would be okay.
Why not?
No, that would be okay. I agree. But if you're trying to get rid of a bug and inevitably...
I asked the Nachri, can you go get rid of that bug by picking up the light switch? There's a bug sitting on the switch, I have to pick it up. That's
maybe.
So this is the same as the refrigerator?
No. The refrigerator, the way in which the... I mean, I think maybe that's part of Ramosha's argument, that Ramosha says that, no, you're opening up the door and the inevitable consequence is to turning on the light, but you're not turning on the light. Maybe we should get back to that machlokas. It's an interesting question. Anyway, back to here. The point is that we're makel from Amir L'Nachri for Pesik Reisha. So therefore, could be that we would be lenient in the case. Even the Taz, who was machmir, that you can't have the guy cut the nails, could be makel, that you could have the guy cut the comb the hair. Sorry? If you hold, that's the question, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Did we say that chafifa could be done by hand?
Yeah, so you're saying, why do you even need a bother? So let's say you don't want to be somech on that. That's a good question. What would be better? We say hand's only good b'shas adchak. So what would be better? Would it be better to have a guy comb the hair, or are you to do it with your hands? That's a good question. I don't know. One question that's actually totally unrelated to this malacha, but it balabatishly related. Can you comb your shetel or brush your shetel on Shabbos? So obviously, it's not going to be a shayla of gozes. Nothing to do with gozes, so that's why I said it doesn't really relate here. But since we're on the topic of combing hair, is that going to be mutter? So I would have thought that, what's the problem with it? I couldn't think of any yisur. But Shlomo Zalman Arbach, in Shmei Shabbos Kilchasa, Perak Yudalit, our Kufchav Gimel says, no, it's going to be asur based off of Raman, Simen Kufla, Shin Lamed Zayin. We're actually going to get back to that Raman in a minute. But the Rama says that you can't sweep on Shabbos with a broom, even when there's no concern with Hashvos Gumos, like on a paved floor in a city where most floors are paved. You can't sweep if the broom has, it's like with the straw broom, the old-fashioned brooms with bristles, where those bristles will inevitably break. That's what the Rama says. So the question is, why? What's the issur? Okay, let's say the bristles break. So the sources for that ruling come from Rishonim, who say that because it's mekalkel. It's mekalkel. So at first glance, that doesn't make any sense. Because mekalkel, you have to have a melacha, and then if it's a certain melacha, and it's mekalkel, we'll say it's pater, right? But we don't know of an iser derabanan called mekalkel. So there are different explanations of this. Some say it's the melacha of soser. It's very hard to argue here. Soser of the broom. So the Bir Halacha over there says maybe it's a Zilzal Shabbos. What does that mean? So there are different theories. It's very hard to understand any of them. But some say that based off of that, whatever reason that's Aser, though it's hard to know which one, for the same reason it would be Aser to comb shetels. I saw that Rav Simcha ben Ukon on page 164 in the Shabbos home says it's Aser because of Korea. I didn't understand that, but maybe when we get to Korea we'll have a better understanding of that. Now, Lamaisa, even that's going to be mutter if it's not a psik resha. I don't know if combing a shetel is a psik resha for ripping out hairs. But if it isn't, the Orchu Shabbos, Perek Yud Aleph, Hara Chavtes, says then surely it would be mutter.
Why wouldn't it at least be a donos? Because you don't want to lose hairs.
Well, you're saying that it is miskaven if there is knotted up hairs that you want them to be pulled out, right? So the shaila is what about, right? In other words, maybe when you have a hair full of head, sheitels, right? You know, they're expensive and they lose hair over time, and then you have to spend a lot of money and get a new sheitel. So
she probably does it every time she loses a strand of hair.
So whereas on your own head, so you could say, look, I have this knot, and I'd rather get the knot out by pulling out my hair, because anyway, my hair is going to regrow. And maybe that's not true for a sheitel. Okay, so therefore, it's very hard to say sheitel acharaser. And certainly, if you think that it's not a psik reicha, then it's really hard to say they're aser. And I would suspect, though I don't know, I would suspect that when women brush their sheitel hair, they do whatever they can to avoid ripping the hair.
Brush. And still, when we brush the entire sheitel and a single hair comes out?
I would imagine. I mean, they don't run out of hair that quickly. They do last for several years.
In the third number of those books, the red one, there's someone's
Rabbi Riyat.
And he said that the brush has to be miyuchad.
Ah, uvdin dechol, geshmak. We're going to get back to that. You know, we could do that right now. So,
I will look up his Shabbos brush.
Yeah. Yeah, but if it had 40,000 hairs or even 60,000 hairs, you might not want to wear it.
Yeah, but that still means that every time you brush it, one hair. If over the course of 10 years, enough hairs come out to cause it to become overwear.
Okay, you have to look at the mitzvahs.
No hair comes out on average every time you do so.
I don't know. So let's talk about uvdin dechol.
Did he plant you?
So
I have a script here. Maybe be
so. So, uvdin dechol. So, as we already mentioned before, that if you have a brush, like the soft bristle pig hair brushes, and you brush gently or the like, in a way that it's not going to pull out hair, certainly not inevitably, so then it's mutter, right? And the Mishnah Berurah, though, says a very interesting chumra with respect to this. This is Simen Shin Gimel Sifkat and Pei Zayin.
Coming onto this assumption that there is such a thing as a brush where there's no psik reisha, how do you avoid miskaven when you're brushing your hair?
Because you're not miskaven to pull out any hairs. Because this type of brush can't do that. I think the point is it still doesn't do that.
Speak to your wife. It will solve all your questions.
Is that point aside?
What do you mean? That's
no, in other words, I imagine the answer is...
Like the fact that the chances are so low you can't call it Dovah miskaven anymore?
Yes. It's not miskaven because it doesn't do that. But then he says a very important point.
In the case of the Gemara, like, if you read the Gemara like the Magen Avraham and say that it's Dover Shana Miskaven, so it's not for sure going to do that, but you would still call it Dover Miskaven.
Right, that's with a comb. I think that's what he's saying. I hear what you're saying. Okay. When you use a comb,
even if a comb is
not a psik reisha, it's Miskaven.
Right.
And even when it's...
Brush.
Right. So the Mishnah Berurah, though, adds a very important thing. V'nagu shiyya ha-kli ha-asui miseir chazir miyuchad l'shabes k'day shelo yamechzik uvdin d'chol. So where in the world does this come from? So the source of Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham isn't here. It's Simen Shin Chaf Zayin Aleph. What does he say over there? So this brings us back to our refuah sugyas. The Mishnah Shabbos, Kuf Mem Zayin Mud Aleph, says, V'lo Megarurin. You can't, like, scrape your skin. And the Magen Avraham says about that, Umizeh Nagu HaBesulos, Lios. Oh, Sorry, but it's okay if you have a kli miyuchad l'kach. And the Magen Rambam says, "Mizenag l'abesulos, lios lem kli meiser chazir miyuchad l'shabes." Ah, so what does that mean? How do you get it from there? So you have to look back at the sugya. Kofem zayin what else? As we said before, the Mishnah says, "Sachin umemashmishin avalomis amlin velomis garurin." So you could do, you could smear oil on your body, and you could gently rub it in. But you can't do this type of vigorous massage, and you also can't scrape, which means presumably to use some type of scraper to scrape off the oil. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but that's something like that. Right, Rashi says, "Lo mizgarerin b'megareres." Why? What's wrong with that? Why can't you use a scraper? So Rashi says, because of Ovdin D'chol. Now, Rashi's actually not the only interpretation of that. If you look at the Rambam, Chaf Aleph, Halacha Chaf Ches, we saw this Rambam already. It's in the middle of the laws of Refuah. Just like the Rambam said about Ein Mis'amlin, right? Rambam thought that these vigorous massages, physical therapy type things are Aser Als Refuah. And so too, this Mizgarin is Aser some reason Als Refuah. But Rashi says it's Aser Kaz of Ovdin D'chol. He has a different understanding anyway. So where do we find that there's a heter if it's Kli Miyuchad L'Kach? So that's based off the Gemara Kuf Mem Zayin Amid Beis. The Gemara over there, there it actually does sound like talking about Ovdin D'chol for other things. It says, Sachanu Mimash Mishin Bivnei Mi'ayim B'Shabbos, but you can't do a Kedar Shos B'chol. Tells you how to do things differently. And then when he asks about Lomis Garirin, it says like this. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Imayu Raglov Milchlachos Betit Uvitzawa. Let's say you're walking around outside in the mud without pants. So your legs got full of mud. Gorer Kedarko Ve'enochoshi. Then you could be Megarer the mud off of your legs. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Avdale Ime Megararta de Kaspa. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda's mother made him a beautiful silver scraper, right? Next time you're scraping the ice off your car, you're going to think of that. Silver scraper, okay? So how do you read the Gemara? So there's two ways to read the Gemara. The Elia Rabba reads the Gemara as follows. In order to be, even though the Gemara said you're allowed to be mati, you're allowed to scrape your legs off if they get full of tit and tsawa, there's a heter, if you are, or Lakov Shabbos at the very least, you should, he made her, his mother made him a silver scraper. But if that's the case, there's only a heter when Raglav Miluchlachos Betit, right? He's saying, you're allowed to do it if your legs are muddy, and his mother made him, Lakov Shabbos, a silver leg scraper. Good. So that, if that's the correct reading of the Gemara, it has nothing to do with us. But Rabbi Hananel read the Gemara differently, and this is the Magen Avraham. Rabbi Hananel said, no, this is a stam heter. In other words, even if your legs are not meluchlachos betit, it's mutter if you have a Shabbos scraper. Why? Because that makes it no longer of the d'chol. Well, you haven't figured out why it's of the d'chol in the first place. We'll get back to that in a moment. But if the, since the whole reason of the Isser of scraping is because of Ovdin D'chol, so Memela, by having a Shabbos scraper, then you've avoided the issue of Ovdin D'chol. And the Mishnah Berurah thinks that interpretation of the Magen Avraham is correct. In light of the Rabbeinu Hananel, he rejects the Elia Rabba. This is all explicit if you want to take a look in Shar HaTzion Sif Katan Tes in Simen Shin Chav Zayin. So the Mishnah Berurah rejects the Elia Rabba, he accepts the Magen Avraham, and therefore he says that we could apply the same type of kula to a hairbrush, even though we're going to learn a tremendous chumra from that Gemara. It's not obvious why it's a jump, but on the one hand he's saying, well, we're going to jump from a scraper to a brush, just like scraping is aser alts ovdin d'chol, so too brushing is aser alts ovdin d'chol, but we'll also learn a kula from that Gemara, which is that if you have a special Shabbos brush, it doesn't have to be silver, then it's going to be mutter. That solves the problem of Avodah Nechol. Now, the whole Chumrah over here is quite remarkable. Remember, if you learn like the Rambam, there's no basis for this Chumrah at all, because the Gemara has nothing to do with brushing. The Gemara has to do with refuah. So there's no reason at all to think brushing with a regular brush should be usher, according to the Rambam, assuming that there's no issue of pulling out hair. Even according to Rashi, it's a big jump, because how do I know that just because scraping is Avodah Nechol, that brushing is Avodah Nechol? How do I know? But the Mishneh Berurah / Magen Avraham, really coming off the Magen Avraham, thinks that we do make this jump. Now, it's worthwhile noting that the Mishneh Berurah doesn't really say this is a full-fledged Isser. He says, Nahagu. The lesson of Mishneh Berurah was, the Nahagu Shia Kli Ha'asui Meser Chazir Miyuchad L'Shabbos. So it's appropriate, it's a good thing, to have a Shabbos brush, a brush that you might anyway, if you only use, you know, during the week you're going to want a brush that works. But even if you like soft-haired brushes on Shabbos during the week, so you should have one. It's better to have one on Shabbos because of this Isser. Now, to really understand where this is coming from, so that's where you said, that's where you quoted the 39 Melachos, who was just quoting the Mishneh Berurah, quoting the Magen Avraham. They have to have a special, right? That, for that idea to make any sense, we have to figure out what Avodah Nechol is. And then, if we knew what Avodah Nechol is, we could understand how Rashi explains that sugya, and then how we could jump, how the Magen Avraham jumps from scrapers to brushes, right? So what is Avodah Nechol? So we talked about this a little bit, actually, when we talked about the Isser of gathering fruits, when we did Ma'amer, right? The Gemara on Shabbos, Kuf Mem Gimel on the base, says that, let's say, gathering fruits that spilled is Aser Al Avodah Nechol. Now, Rambam has a different explanation of the Gemara. Rambam, generally speaking, understands that Avodah Nechol relates to Melacha. But what about Rashi? So, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a cool. I found this from the article by Rav Leibowitz that Donny Yarrow sent out a while back when we did toothbrushing to the chat. So, if you wanna see the source, it's quoted from the Me'or HaShabbos Mechtavim.
It's a translation of the three days.
The Me'or HaShabbos?
No, the Rabbi Leibowitz.
No, there's a lot of things that aren't in this radiation. So, if you look at Rosh Shlomo Zalman is very troubled trying to figure out, like, what in the world, is there any rules for Avodah Nechol, their parameters? So he says that he thinks maybe this is what is the parameters. If the normal way of doing this activity is one that usually involves something that you can't do on Shabbos, then the activity is classified as Avodah Nechol, even though you happen to do it in a perfectly permissible fashion. It actually makes the definition, even for Rashi, closer to the Rambam. So let's apply that over here. When it comes... What?
Normally doing it involves something, meaning an item? Or
no, an action. An answer. So let's take it here, right? Brushing. Brushing on Shabbos, usually, or combing, brushing, does involve melacha. Now, I happen to be doing it in a way that doesn't. Still, it's Aser Al Avodah Nechol, but there's a heter of Kli HaMiyuchad L'Kach. By designating it for Shabbos, so it no longer resembles a weekday activity. Likewise, we mentioned this when we talked about toothbrushing on Shabbos. Let's say you have a permissible way to brush your teeth on Shabbos. Let's say, for example, you think that using mouthwash would be okay. You think that it's usher to use toothpaste because of mimareach, but mouthwash, especially if you put the mouthwash in your mouth, not in the toothbrush, so that would be no problem. Okay, good. We made the case why that might be so. But teeth brushing is still a weekday-like activity, and so far as the normal method of brushing teeth does involve melacha. Let's say you're assuming, like, Rav Moshe, that there's a Mimareach issue. Okay, that's not obvious, but let's say we think that we accept Rav Moshe's view. So then, the way to solve that would be, again, to have a Shabbos toothbrush. And if you designated the toothbrush for Shabbos, then you would avoid that problem. That's the way Rosh Hashanah Zalman says it. Rav Moshe seems to have a slightly different definition of Ovdin D'chol. Anything that is normally done exclusively on weekdays and is like a vachadika activity, even if it doesn't involve any Shabbos prohibitions. And he gives a number of examples.
Where is this
relation? Archaim Chelek Dalad Ayin Dalad Tochein Os Dalad. Now, it's not clear why, if that's the definition, brushing your hair with this pig brush should be aser, right? Pig hair brush. Why is it that? Is that recognizable as a weekday activity?
I mean, why shouldn't the... I mean, shouldn't he just be more expansive than Rosh Hashanah Zalman? I mean, anything that Rosh Hashanah Zalman would say is usher, but Moshe would say, well, normally you don't do usher things on Shabbos, so, like... I mean, he could only be adding something, though.
Maybe. Again, it doesn't... it's hard to know what the Hagdara is.
He doesn't say, oh, then you're called by toothbrush.
But I thought... Yeah, so it's not obvious why brushing your teeth, again, the Mishnah Berurah's definition would be a problem. I thought that maybe a slightly different, again, maybe Rav Moshe, at the end of the day, was going to be like Rosh Hashanah Zalman, which is basically what you're saying. I thought maybe it's a different issue here, which is maybe because it's a strenuous activity. That's why it's Ovdin D'chol. The Beis Yosef, if you look over there, we Shin Chav Gimel, Sif Mem Gimel, and the Beis Yosef, the second Mem Gimel, he writes that Ovdin D'chol are things that Ikka Tircha. Now, why would you think brushing your hair is a Tircha? So anyone who's had to brush their hair of their daughter knows. I mean, maybe it depends on short hair or thick hair or the like. But it's, you know, there's this product that you buy that if you have little girls, everybody owns called No Tears Tangle or something like that. No Tangle Tears. Basically, you spray it in the hair and it makes them stop crying when you brush their hair. But it doesn't work. But you buy it anyway because it makes you feel a little better, because otherwise your mom is torturing your daughter. Or you could just, like, not brush their hair ever and then they walk around with, like, a mat of... Anyway. So, the point is that if you don't regularly brush your hair and you have long hair, and certainly if you don't regularly bathe, brushing your hair, combing your hair, was a very strenuous, painful activity that, like, takes a while and the like. And actually, when you learn Hilchos Chafifa, you'll see that was, like, taken for granted. Nowadays, for most women who brush their hair regularly and shower regularly and the like, when they're adults, at least, it's not really that way. So we don't think about hair combing as an activity that is painful or uncomfortable and tircha and the like. But little girls do, because they're not as careful about their hair. Some are. Maybe it's just my kids. I don't know. Once they get a little older and they start combing their own hair, then it's... No, I know it's common because they have that product. I remember that product growing up. So, it's not even new. So, maybe, I thought, that's the reason why the Magen Avraham was assuming that brushing hair, combing hair, was Ovdin D'chol, because it's like the Beis Yosef says, it's something that's generally associated with Torah, even though in this particular case, maybe not, and that's why you have to solve the problem by getting a brush that's miyuchad. Lemaisa, Rabbi Schechter thinks there is no definition of Ovdin D'chol. It's intuitive, and intuitively using a toothbrush is not Ovdin D'chol.
That's the Mashitasa, man. It's totally fine. Rasa
and Rabbi, no, it's not. He's saying even if you don't hold it that, it's just there's no, it's like, doesn't seem like it's Ovdin D'chol. Since you're quoting Rabbi Ribiat, so Rabbi Ribiat says that there's also no definition, like Rav Schechter, so the qualified poskim of each and every generation decide what's Ovdin D'chol. Now, we're sort of laughing about it, but It's not a laughing matter. I think the idea that he assumes of the Nechol is that we all know that that there are certain things intuitively that, that go against the character of Shabbos. They're not Shabbos-dick. So since you brought it up, I saw in the newspaper that there's this girl who won, who like is the best ping pong player in America or something like that, and she wants to go to the Olympics, but the qualifiers are on Shabbos. So she said, I can't do it. She asked them to change it. So somebody, they interviewed her and said, is it usher to play ping pong on Shabbos? She said, may be usher, may be not usher, but it's obviously not Shabbos-dick to play competitive ping pong on Shabbos. It's mamish. Oh, such a beautiful thing to say. So she said, if that means I can't fulfill my dream of going to the Olympics, so be it.
And they switched it to
Saturday. No. They have, I think the deadline for switching it is this Friday, so you could find out in the next couple days if she's going to make it. But the point is that Uvdin Dechol, according to this definition, means non-Shabbistic activities. And though, you know, what's considered a non-Shabbistic activity might change from time to time and place to place. So what about brushing hair? So I wouldn't have thought that's so non-Shabbistic, but if you go by his definition that the poskim of each generation decide, and you look at all the kitzur books, they're all machmir. So I guess that means the poskim have decided that it is Uvdin Dechol. Yes?
I understand what you're about the definition, why having a clean yuchad helps. The whole thing is that it's a vachadik activity.
Yes.
And you have a special Shabbos
right.
Implement, so it makes sense how it's not a vachadik activity. According to the Rosh Hashanah Zalman Arbach, where it's just that it's normally done in an usher way, so how does having a
it still means it's a vachadik activity. He's agreeing to that. It's just, what, how, is there a... Is there a methodology to determining what's a vachadik activity, or is it just an intuition?
No, I understand that.
So the answer is the methodology is, but it still makes it non-vachadik when you do it in a miyachadik way, or you have a miyachadik akli.
I don't really understand that. Yeah, the definition of vachadik is that it's done normally in a way...
Because you've done it, this is like a shinoi. By having that silver scraper, so now... That associates when you use a Shabbos kli that no longer associates doing it in this way with weekday activity. It associates it with Shabbos activity. Okay, fine. So the last topic we're going to talk about in this melacha is the issue of nails and tzitzin and the like. So the Gemara in Shabbos says, "Tadi dalad mebeis tani Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer." Tzipron shapir shriba ruba v'tzitzin shapir shruban. So biyad mutter b'kli chayv chata. So Gemara says mi'ikam idi de b'kli chayv chata. So biyad mutter l'chatchila. Ochi gamar pir shruban biyad mutter b'kli pater avalaser. Lo pir shruban biyad pater avalaser b'kli chayv chatas. Amar Rav Yehuda, halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, v'hu, shepirshu klape mala, u mitzaro sosa. So, we're running a little bit late. I don't know if we'll have time to talk about what does Rubo accomplish. Clearly, Rubo seems to bring it down to an Issa d'Rabbanan. Why? What's the gadir? It's a very interesting question, and I'm not really sure of the answer, though maybe I had some theories. But that's the basis of this Gemara. Now, there seems to be a machlokas Rashi and Rambam, as the Beis Yosef points out, if klape mala and mitzaro sosa are 2 points or 1 point?
The Torah points out.
Yeah, what did I say? Oh, thank you. The Torah points out. Are they 1 point or 2 points? So Rashi sounds like they're 1 point, namely klape mala is going to make them more bitzar. And the Rambam sounds like it's 2 points. So Yoshua was bothered by this morning. You know, why do we need...
Huh.
why do we know? Why do we need, if you follow the Rambam's view, why do we need so many conditions? In other words, we need klape mala, we need mitzaros osa, plus it's already biyad, plus already rov. So it's like four conditions. So maybe you just need four conditions. Artists, to make something mutter that's normally usher, we don't have rules. And they were willing to be matir when you have all these four conditions. Now, that actually relates to a more basic question in the sugya, which is the following. The other alternative that Yoshua was considering was that maybe rov is only relevant if it's klape mala. But either that, or again, maybe the way I was saying it, but to say what I'm saying relates to a general question, which we'll see in a moment, is the machlokas, which is this kula over here like the regular rules of Shabbos, or is it a special leniency that's totally local to this case? Now, what do I mean to say? So we've already discussed when we did the Sugya Refuah that the Rambam, and this is Paskin and the Shulchan Aruch, and Shin Zayin Sif Hei hold that a shvus to shvus is mutter if it's b'makom mitzvah or b'makom cholik tzas, b'makom tzar, maybe a hafsid, big hafsid. So we have a concept of shvus to shvus, b'makom tzar. So is what's going on over here? Is this an application of the regular rule of shvus to shvus, b'makom tzar? Or is this a unique case, a special rule? So if you remember over there, we saw a big machlokas whether shvus to shvus b'makom tzar is mutter only if one of them is a miyol anachri, like the cases of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, or even not a miyol anachri, right? I think the example we talked about at that time was, let's say the light's on in your room, you can't sleep, and you don't have another good place to sleep. It's not like you have a guest bedroom. So could you turn off the light with your elbow, right? So it's a shvus to shvus. Turning off a light is an issur d'rabanan. Using your elbow is a shinoi. So could you do that to fall asleep? If you follow, let's say, the Mishnah Berurah's view, that one of them has to be miyol nachri, that would be aser. If you follow the view of other achronim, this seems to be the view of the Prima Gadim, for example, if you want to see it's Eshel Avram, Sifkat and Ches, in Simen Shin Zayin, and also Mishpatzos Zahav, Sifkat and Aleph, in Simen Shin Chaf Hei. So, they're Makil, if neither of them are Miyol Nachri. There's a Chachma Shlomo that's cited there. It's an interesting Shiloh. They want to know, can you bring a kid, carry a kid, or bring him in a stroller to Shul? Let's say it's far away, where it's a Carmelist, there's no Erev, to say Kaddish, right? Little kid wants to say Kaddish, he's too far to walk to Shul. So it's an Issur Drabanan, because Chayno Se Satsmo, plus it's an Issur Double Drabanan, because it's no Rishus Arabim, it's a Carmelist, but there's no Erev. So some of the Achronim were Mekel, they said, yeah, Shvus to Shvus is Mutter B'Makom Mitzvah. Or maybe, you know, having a Jew push him, having a guy push the kid to shul would be okay according to everybody. So this is a machlokas achronim. If you held like that Prima Gadim, so then you could understand that this is a general rule. If you learn like the Mishnah Berurah, so then this is a specialty rule. Yoshua's question is a much stronger question if you hold it's a general rule. If you hold it as a specialty rule, so then you could say that, you know, there were a lot of things before they were willing to be matir it. Now, there's another very important Magen Avraham that relates to this over there, Simon Shin Zion Sif Katan Zion, who seems to have a general principle that a shrush shalo kedark is mutter b'mako mitztayer. And he derives this from, actually, not our sugya. It's interesting why he didn't choose our sugya, but he derives it from Goneach Yonek. We know that Goneach Yonek is mutter, so it's a shvus shalo kedarko. At least going some Rishonim, And that's the base of a general principle. The Shvush Lokadarko B'makom Tsar. Now the Igle Tal, it's Tochen Os, or, you know, the small Osios Lamed Zayin, and also if you want an easier place to find it, might be in the Avnei Nezer, Simen Kuf Yud Ches, over there, really, Os Tes and Yud especially. I think I might have even put in your Makoros. So the Avnei Nezer disagrees. And he says, you see from Rashi, that's not true, Rashi and Arsugya. Because what does Rashi say in Arsugya? Mitzar Tfei, Mitzaro Tfei. So he sounds like, from Rashi, it's only Mutter, even here, when you're in a lot of pain. And he objects. He thinks the Magen Avraham sounds like even little pain, we would be Matir, or Shvush Shelo Kedarko. And he says, no, you see from our Rashi, only if in you're in a lot of pain. I don't know how much pain a cuticle could cause. But
subjective or objective?
I would assume that's subjective. I would assume it's subjective. So Bekitzer, just this is a very important klal, right? What's the din in Shvush Shelo Kedarko by Mitzta'er? So the Magen Avraham sounds like he's Mekel, and as I said, the Igle Tal, Avnei Nezer, argues from Rashi and Arsugya that it has to be Mitzar Tfei. Now, the Gemara over here really talked about two different things, right? One is the nail that's loose, and the second is the tzitzin, the cuticles. So with respect to nail, most poskim assume that the condition for lamala is not relevant. That was only with respect to cuticles, in which case the application, and this is the view of the Chai Adam, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the Eishel of Rambu Chach, there are some Achronim who disagree, but I think we follow this view. So, therefore, the application of this halacha with respect to nails is pretty straightforward. It's pretty straightforward in terms of pulling off hanging nails. We know how to apply the rules of the Gemara. But when it comes to tzitzin, it's very hard to apply, and the reason is because there's a machlokas rishonim, and by tzitzin, again, the Gemara clearly says you need it to be a klape mala, pirshu klape mala, and it's not at all clear what in the world does that mean. Not only is it unclear, but there's two views that seem to be the exact opposite. Rashi says, letzada tziporin hischilu lefrosh, dekametzar le'tuva, and Tosfos says, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, sheklape guf kari klape mala. And he brings a raya from Nida. So, I still haven't figured out what cuticles are. So I really have no idea what they're talking about. That's because my chavrusa told me I don't have cuticles. Anyway,
is
so...
not like warts or...
No, there are these... Yoshua will explain to you afterwards.
Yeah, they're under nail, which
right.
Peel off.
Yeah. So, Lamaisa, if you have these things... So how are you supposed to figure it out, right? How are you ever supposed to have klape mala? So the Ritva, when he cites Tosfos over here, he writes, "Vein lanu echrei bedavar zeh." We can't figure out who's right, Rashi or Tosfos. And therefore the Torah writes, "V'tzarech lachosh l'shnei peirushim," which basically means that this whole din is now done. Why? Because it's only mutter, it's klape mala, and whatever you think, it's either, you know, if it's klape mala for Rashi, it's not klape mala for Tosfos, or the reverse. So you may as well just forget this halacha. And there's no permissible way on Shabbos to pull off your tzitzin, even if they're mitzayer tvei. Now, that is basically the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Shem Chav Chasif Lamed Aleph. He writes that. He quotes Rashi, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, Tzarech Lachosh L'Shnei HaPeirushim. So the whole thing is batal. Now it's sort of interesting that we have to be so machmir for a din de Rabbanan. This is certainly Nisad Rabbanan. Why do we have to be machmir and aser both ways? Why can't we be mekel? So probably the answer is, and this is what some achronim say, is because if you were to be mekel, then you would be mekel both ways. And then you'd also be doing for sure against the din of the Gemara. This relates to an idea of the Ran has it by Mitzvah Sarba Kosos, one of his answers, and some other places as well, that if the whole, you could be Mekel and Dindra Banan, Now, to say that for a mitzvah is easier, say, okay, like if you were makel on heseba, whether which cups you need, so then the whole din is gone, because some say this way, some say that way. Here it's a bigger chiddush to apply it. But still, lemaisa, you know you'll be violating the... You can't arbitrarily pick my chazis, right? Ein lanu hacharei b'davar. If we had a reason to think Rashi or Tosfos was more correct, then we could follow that view. But once we have no way... no reasonable way to choose who's right. They both seem to be equally plausible readings of the Gemara. So if you and to pick one arbitrarily is just arbitrary, my chazis. So memela, to be makel for both, so then you're certainly violating the Dina de Gemara. So you have no choice but to be machmir for both. And therefore, even as the Drabanan, it's us. So that's the way some achronim say. We should note, though, that there are some rishonim who say, that's not Medina, that's Betaris Chumra. Rabbi Yerucham writes, Nachon lahachmir kishnei perushim. The Smak writes, the Nechleku Rashbam Rabbeinu Tam befeish klape mala im letzad aguf im letzad chutz v'lachach tov lahachmir bishneim. So there you see that as a recommendation. But lamaisa, the tour, the Shulchan Aruch sound like they're accepting it Medina, and we assume that therefore Medina it's aser. Yes.
From the way Rashi presents it, sounds like. The Maiva is a Tnai in the Tsar.
Mm-hmm.
So, why Nechera, that's just the way of achieving that. And therefore, if it Nechera in either direction, it would be if it was Tsar.
So then why didn't it say that? No, I hear what you're saying, and it makes a lot of sense. But if that were true, then Gemara said, who could go into Mitzdayer or something?
Well, Rashi did say that.
Yeah, but it should have said it that way. In other words, if it's mutter either way, up or down, as long as it's mitzdayer, so there's a better way to say that. Fine. So therefore, lemaisa, with respect to tzitzin, the Shulchan Aruch says you should not pull them off. Now, the last question I really want to talk about is, I earlier alluded to it, which is when you have little pieces of lips, of lip skin, like chapped lips, from chapped lips coming off. This is a common thing, and obviously, I think you shouldn't pull them off intentionally, but people do, and is there any limud chos for that? So first of all, before we get to the limud chos, we should do the limud chova. That's from the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah comes down very hard on that. Even though Rashi says, you might have thought that Rashi says tzitzin, like we said, are little pieces of skin from the nail area. The Mishnah Berurah says, of course, it's lav dafka, it's any type of skin popping out. And not only that, but he thinks that skin popping out from your lips is much worse. It's a potential issur d'oraisa. Why? Because it's darko. In other words, when it comes to cutting your nails or cutting your cuticles, maybe the derech is to use a kli. But I don't think anyone like takes a scissors and cuts off their skin on their lips. So how do you do it normally? I think you bite it off with your teeth or something like that. So if that's true, so then we're dealing with mamish and iser d'araisa here. So that's obviously very severe. So maybe it's not so pashut. First of all, we already saw that the Bir Halacha said that even if you think generally, certainly according to Tosfos, it's not a Nisr Derais, it's Nisr Chlegufa. But even if I like the Ramban, remember the Mishnah Berurah said that having the non-Jew cut off your nails for Tevilah purposes isn't a Derais, you're not Mechavin for beauty. So maybe here you're not Mechavin for beauty. I'm not sure. I think probably the reason why people pull off the dried lips is not because they're hoping to look more beautiful. Adrabah, usually you know it makes things worse. It's because it annoys you. It itches, it scratches, it hurts, whatever it is. So you're trying to get rid of this thing, which, because you think now you'll feel better. So that's going to be in a shichel gufa, right? It's not for tikkun aguf. So maybe... It's not beautifying of the guf. In other words, at least the way liafos are guf. Ah, so nene isn't... It's always your nene. In other words, when you're... Just because it's nene doesn't mean it's yipui haguf. To be tzvicha lagufa, the way the Mishnah Berurah understands the Ramban is, we said maybe it's not so posh in the Ramban, but the way the Mishnah Berurah understands the Ramban is, it's going to be tzvicha lagufa, it's either yipui haguf, or to get the hair for building something, making something. This is neither. It's not yipui haguf. You don't look Now, maybe it is. I don't, maybe some people pull them off because they think they look ugly. But I think that most people pull them off because it's itchy. And that's just silica sara. You're getting rid of a bad thing. You're getting rid of something that's annoying you, that's itching you. Therefore, we could argue that according to Ramban, it would be ena tzrichel gufa. Number two, again, that's not going to make it mutter, but it does make it a little more kal. Number two, if you remember, the Taz said that you're not allowed to pull off skin, hanging skin. And he said, why? Because it's kotzer, because people are going to do like karka. So if you hold like the Taz, but you think people aren't going to do like karka, so then maybe also wouldn't be usher, or certainly not nisr deraisa. Okay, not the best limitzchus, but that's another tzad. And one might add the following. Is it so obvious that what the Mishnah Berurah says, that this is not going to be a... this is going to be darko bekach. It's not going to be a shinoi. Why? Let's go back to that Ramban we talked about last time. So, but the Mishnah Berurah is saying that's the normal way to do it. In other words, if you're saying your fingers would be a shinoi.
Rather than teeth.
Okay, good. Problem is that you can't do it with your fingers because that's aser. But you're saying maybe it would be better. Yeah, I hear. Maybe even with your teeth it would be. Why? This brings us back to that Ramban that we had last time. Remember the Ramban said, it's not clear how to apply this Ramban always, but the Ramban said that we look at the av of this malacha, and if this is not the way the av or the normal cases that this is done, then it's a shinoi, even if this might be normal in, under these circumstances. He's saying the opposite. Even if it's abnormal under these circumstances, if it's a normal way of doing it, it would be deoraisa, right? In other words, using your hands for tlisha would be deoraisa, since it's normal to pick an apple, but once it's not, once tolish is in kotzer, so maybe the opposite is true. So maybe, tzarch iyon, but maybe it would be, you could argue, according to the Ramban, it would be a shinoi, I'm not sure. And maybe also would be, oftentimes it's going to be a misasek of sorts. Anyway, obviously, lemaisa, a person should try not to do this, not to pull off the skin that's peeling from the lips. Though, again, maybe those are tzadim. Why, if somebody does it, it's not the end of the world. Another very interesting question I saw the postman bring up is scratching your head if you have dandruff. So some achronim are machmir. Why? Because inevitably, what is dandruff? Dandruff is like dried out skin on your head, but it's still attached. So sometimes, lots of times, it'll just fall off on its own. Obviously, that's okay. But if I scratch my head, certainly if I vigorously scratch my head, I'm going to be pulling off lots of skin. And you'll see it, like flies all over the place. So is that usher? So Pashta says it is usher, and you shouldn't do it vigorously. The Shiurei Shevet Alevi Nechos Nida, if you want to see it, it's in Kuf Tzadi Ches, Chaf Beis Dalid. And he says that, you know, certainly if they come off easily, like not from a, you know, if you rub your head like that lightly, then it's okay. And that's because they're basically detached already. So if you have dandruff, gently rubbing your head is okay, like it's itchy, but you shouldn't like vigorously scratch it.
Is it that way? It's not going to use your hand to rub dandruff?
No, I don't know if it's dark or not dark, but it's still going to be also the Rabbanan.
Why?
Not
that
she's
going
to look like. The Rabbanan. In other words, we know doesn't meet the requirements. Certainly, felt like the Mishnah Berurah, right? So lemaisa, fine.
Who knows that?
Well, why is it different than the tzitzin that are pirsh and ruban? We still are machmir, right? Presumably, they're also not yonek anymore. Those tzitzin, shapirsh, and ruban.
It's like you're in pain because you got dandruff.
So,
you didn't wash your head since yesterday.
Rub gently. Gently.
Even
but
if you rub gently, eventually at least one piece of dandruff will
No, that's his. Well,
it's us
here. The Shevet Alevi thinks that anything that comes off gently is basically halachically already detached. And it's just dead skin that's hanging onto your body, as opposed to, let's say, the case of tzitzin, where at the point of chibor, it's a normal chibor, right? Here, at the point, I assume what he means is at the point of chibor, it's not. It's already like dried out skin. And therefore it's okay. But I guess the concern is that if you scratch vigorously, so then even things that are not quite there yet will get knocked out.
Would we say who would then, if I brush in a very soft manner, in which the person has very thin hair, that it's going to come off, but for everyone else it's just
no. If it's going to come off, then you'd have to be machmir. Okay, good. So Be'ezras Hashem, on Wednesday, we will start the new Malachi I sent to you, the Makaros, yesterday.